Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Have you ever met someone so utterly insensitive that you actually think they're kidding when they say things? Have you ever been around someone that is completely out of touch with the reality of the situation faced by others? Been listening to someone who is trying to motivate others but has a complete inability to empathize with those around them? Sometimes blindly optimistic people can appear this way, and when we are faced with a crisis, a significant change in expectations or uncertainty, leaders can often come across tone deaf to the reality of the situation being faced by others, which is why this week I want to explore the behavior of tone deaf people so that maybe you can recognize in yourself opportunities to grow and improve and how to coach others who may be leading around you so that we can reduce the amount of what I believe is unintentional stress put upon others. Being aware of tone deafness is a critical and important skill for people. Often, we think that we are demonstrating candidness or care, and we come across to the recipient of our discussion as completely aloof, uncaring, and arrogant. Now, before moving forward, three definitions, two as a reminder. Remember that a leader is anyone who has influence over another person. Two guiding behaviors of great leaders are empathy and reflection. A buffalo leader is someone who optimistically runs towards the storm they are facing in an effort to take on the challenges that come their way. And finally, tone deaf. Tone deaf is someone who is insensitive to the reality of a given situation. They fail to recognize they're doing damage with their words or actions. I believe that there are two types of people when it comes to being tone deaf. There are those who are genuinely accidental in their behavior, and then there are those that have come to their current point in life without anyone ever having the courage to point out how they impact others with their accidental insensitivity. I realize that there might be people who are intentionally and arrogantly insensitive, but this is the Smart Thinking Podcast, and we judge good. So, as we look at the defining guiding behaviors, I want to share where I was first introduced to this concept of tone-deaf leaders. About 6 years ago, I was asked to be on a panel at a medical conference. Yeah, me, Ted Knightsky, at a medical conference. I was contacted by a professor whose students were in medical school and asked if I could sit on an expert panel and answer questions for an audience of both his students as well as physicians who were mostly high-end specialists and expert surgeons. I remember getting the phone call and thinking, what the heck can I do to help these doctors? The professor, himself a recognized heart surgeon, said that his wife had heard me speak in their school district and I was exactly what the conference needed. After telling me they'd buy me lunch and ask if I could send my Vita for the program, I hung up. The first thing I did was Google Vita. That's when I learned some more Latin and recognized they just wanted a mini resume. Anyway, I went to the hotel ballroom in a very high-end hotel, had lunch with the planning committee, and felt entirely out of place. I mean, here are the top surgeons, doctors, and medical students in the region, and they're interested in me. They were asking me the craziest questions, which I then realized foreshadowed what was about to happen on the panel. Now, I realize that I've shared some pretty weird life experiences with you, but this day was one of the most fascinating for me. I am curious by nature, so when I meet new people, I want to know about them. I mean, I'm not shy about talking about myself, just ask my wife Megan, but I wanted to know from them, what's it like to save someone's life, extend a life, repair a broken ankle, remove an organ? I mean, right? That's some amazing stuff. I remember making a joke that no one really understood when I talked about when I was dissecting a frog and not being able to clearly identify the organs without referencing the diagram, and then they all immediately started telling me how to improve my recognition of organs and amphibians, and I was like, yeah, well, that was a long time ago. I was 13. I don't dissect frogs anymore. But that's when it hit me, and I understood why I was there. They had no time for things not serious. I wasn't funny to them. I think I'm pretty funny. But they had trained themselves to be so focused that even in a simple social situation, they were tone deaf, unable to hear the changes in the pitch of the world around them. After lunch, they had me go up to a table and there were three panelists. Me, the educator, another man who was a clinic administrator who was introduced in a really peculiar way. They said, "This is the guy who deals with the patients who don't like us." And then there was a nurse. The nurse, she looked to be my age, and as I was about to learn, had more knowledge, common sense, and compassion than most of the people in the room. Now, before I go further, this is building up to sound like the doctors had a problem. They were the issue, and the issue was that they were tone-deaf and insensitive. Now, I'm sure not all of them were, but the intent of the day was to create a process to support the development of existing doctors and current practitioners and coach them to lose their perceived tone-deafness. Okay, so they ask the hospital administrator, "What is the most common thing you hear from patients other than concerns about billing?" And what he said set me back for a moment and made the whole day become very clear. He said, "Actually, billing is not my most heard complaint. The issue I deal with the most is family members of patients or the patients themselves telling me that the doctors don't seem to care or that they say things that are insensitive." My mind raced like, this is going to end up being like being an episode of Jerry Springer. Some doctor is going to throw a chair and start yelling. But that's not what happened. I looked out into the audience of a few hundred doctors and nurses, and they were all taking intense notes. I mean, these are diagnosticians, right? Bring them a problem, and they immediately try to start root causing until they get to the answer. I was like, okay, all right, here we go. He explained that many people who come in for medical treatment feel that doctors just simply don't care, that they're too busy to get into details, they don't ask the right types of questions, they look past other issues. And then he cited specific examples as he spoke. I thought I'd hear people justifying their behavior from the audience, but instead, they just kept taking notes, nodding their heads and looking on with curiosity. Around the big hotel ballroom, there were multiple microphones set up, and at any time, anyone could get up and ask a question or challenge the speakers. But no one stood up. Then the nurse was asked a question. "Please explain how nurses view us when we interact with patients." Now, this woman was amazing, clearly a seasoned nurse, and she had about 87 letters behind her name, BN, MS, PhD, blah, 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 etc. But you could tell that she was seasoned, had seen a lot and persevered through a lot of different types of personalities. She was smart, and she turned the question around and said, "I actually want to talk about what works instead of what the problem is." She then went on to explain that the best doctor and patient relationships start with just that, a relationship. The doctor doesn't come in and grab a chart and start reading and mumbling. The doctor comes in and instead of grabbing the chart, grabs a chair, takes a minute or two to check in on the comfort level, see if there are any questions, and then starts looking at all the data and the notes. Her comments created a hushed mumbling across the room, and that seemed to fuel her. She then said, "There's a general tone deafness amongst some of us, and it's hurting people." There it was, tone deaf. In a professional context, this led to one doctor standing up and going to the microphone. It was a woman, and she introduced herself and rattled off all of her credentials. And all I was thinking about was, I wonder if she drives a Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus. Because I could tell from everything about her body language and what she was saying that she was going to challenge the nurse. And she did. After what felt like 10 minutes of her introduction about all the places she worked, where she did a residency, where she had her degrees from, how many surgeries she had done. And when she was finished with that long introduction of herself, she simply said, "I appreciate your comments, but I don't have time for that." She then casually walked away and another doctor high-fived her. I was like, what the heck? I felt like I was a young teacher again when an old salty veteran tells the principal that they have too much on their plates and I'm not going to stand in the hallway to monitor students' behavior or give feedback on every assessment. What do you think I do, just sit around here? I'm too busy. Then the nurse simply said, and I loved it, "I'm sorry, I was asked to share what the best doctors do, and I just did." I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to get totally real in here. I really wanted to high-five her, but then I realized that if I high-fived her, well, I let the impulse slide because I thought to myself, what happens if I ever ended up in an emergency situation and that particular doctor remembered, hey, this is that smart aleck from that empathy training. The facilitator asked the administrator and a nurse a series of other questions, and I sat there very entertained, slightly disturbed, and a little concerned that they forgot about me. But then, after about an hour, the facilitator turned to the audience and said, "Please be ready with your questions." I was about to be humbled in a way I had never been before with an audience. The facilitator read my vita and then said the remaining hour is available to ask Ted questions. I had a really confused look on my face. During my introduction, the facilitator described me as a teacher, someone who has expert relationships with kids, and one of the most empathetic people he'd ever met. I was like, who are they talking about? But the previous hour had been a long discussion to address what the nurse had described as a general tone deafness when the doctors were prepping for surgery, meeting with people, diagnosing, or supporting people in recovery. The one thing I kept hearing over and over was data and facts, data and facts, data and facts. Tone deaf people live their lives to the extreme end of one of my favorite sayings. Data doesn't have a heartbeat, so it does not deserve an emotional response. But what I've learned is that the people that the data describes do have a heartbeat, and they deserve our empathy. Well, that's how I answered my first question, which was, please describe how doctors can increase their patient satisfaction scores. And I just repeated what I just said to them. You see, many times leaders are tone deaf because they hyper-focus on an outcome, a project, an emergency, and then they run into us and we're like, hey, why don't you care about me? Now, after I said this back to the audience, people moved their way to the microphone. And for the next 90 minutes, I answered questions that were astounding to me. And astounding to me because they were so simple. But this audience of people was so intelligent, so focused, so ingrained in their behaviors that simplicity had passed them by. Here are a couple of questions that really stuck out to me. Okay, Mr. Nightsky, as a teacher, how do you care about a student you really don't care for? I was like, what? I care about all the kids. And this one doctor pushed back at me. Really? All of them? I was like, yes, especially the underdogs. Now, do they bother me and act naughty? Yes, but they're kids. They don't know better. But that doesn't mean they don't deserve my willingness to find out why they're acting the way they do or develop a relationship with them. Another one. What do you do when you have a student that refuses to change? I stated that in the absence of someone willing to change to my expectations, I have to change in order to get them to change. I quoted psychologist research from Carl Jung, which, I got to be honest with you, that created a little buzz in the room. I mean, they all started writing down like, oh, he has psychological background. He's referencing research. And I explained to them that if you want to change the way other people are around you, you first have to address yourself and make changes to you to help them change. Another question, what if you simply don't like a kid? Well, I look for some commonality and I focus on that. Another question, what if the child just isn't smart? Well, then I find out what they are good at. Intelligence is a mixed thing. Just because you can fix my hip doesn't mean you can fix my computer. Smart is relative. This went on and on, and I felt like I was teaching a new teacher methods course on how to lead with love. I came to the conclusion during the discussion and questioning, especially on my way home, that empathy was something that was lost in the drive to understand and diagnose. I don't have time to care about how you are emotionally feeling when I'm trying to save your life, was all I kept hearing them say. Now, they never said it, but that's how I interpret it. And then I got it. But it was, as the nurse said, a little tone deaf. So, as we face issues in our daily lives, face unforeseen crisis, and look to support the needs of others, how do we do so and avoid being tone deaf? Well, I'm going to give you some blunt feedback. This is how you know you're tone deaf. Nobody cares about your life experiences. Nobody cares how tough your day was. Nobody cares if you faced this before. Nobody cares where you went to school. Nobody cares if you walked uphill to your first job every day. Nobody cares about your schooling, your titles, your salary, your degrees. Nobody cares about what hurdles you are currently facing. When you are a leader, what others care about is that you put them first, that you seek to understand them, that you think logically, with common sense, and that you do not operate from an arrogant perspective, that you work to understand what they're going through and how to be there in the moment that they need you. People who respond with stories about how much harder they had it are tone deaf. People who present facts without understanding that the world is gray are very tone deaf. And people who have to continually discuss how important they are, tone deaf, and doing damage. Well, okay. All right. So what do we do? Well, like these doctors, most people are not really aware that they're behaving in a manner that others perceive as tone deaf. Yes, you may understand exactly what needs to be done before the other person does, but easing into the situation is critical, as is making certain you are providing for the other person or persons the time they need from you in order to support them and process what is going on. If you feel you have to justify everything by explaining how important you are or how irrelevant the concerns are of those presenting them to you, tone deaf. Have you ever been with someone who starts to sing a song they hear on the radio and you're like, oh my goodness, stop. They're so off key, it's not even funny. But they keep at it with zeal and enthusiasm. I've been to a few karaoke environments, and I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people out there who are truly tone deaf, because that's the real definition of being tone deaf. And there are a lot of leaders, especially under stress, who are singing away and their voice in and of itself is turning people off. So what do we do? Well, first, we have a responsibility to bring to light the tone-deaf nature of certain people. And yes, I get that that is risky, but it's worth it. Too often, people position themselves to truly believe that they don't have time, or they're so much smarter than everyone else that they're not even worth listening to. So there are a couple of steps to increase awareness when you are struck with people who are tone-deaf, lack empathy, and do not put those around them first. One of the training tools that emerged from the conference I was at was very simple. It was a punch list or a checklist. The physicians I was with that day were all good people who had fallen into the habit, through training, to laser focus on the outcomes more than the full situation. I think we all do that from time to time. But a quick awareness tool is a helpful start. Here's a quick process for you if you occasionally suffer from tone deafness or if you are coaching someone else who you've diagnosed as tone deaf. This is a self-awareness tool as you enter a situation with someone or a group you know needs you. So it's three prompts. You write them down. You put them on a checklist. You put them on a card. You keep them in your purse or your wallet, wherever. Put them inside your phone case. And then as you're in a sketchy situation, you look at your phone to check the time, and then you'll remember, okay, I got to check my three prompts. The first prompt, am I in the frame of mind to be present for those in front of me? Can I be who they need in order for them to succeed? And if I were them, what would I need from me? Did you hear that? Not once did we reflect on what I need, what I will do, what I have to do to get done, or what I want to get accomplished. When I was a young soccer coach, I had a clipboard that opened up, and I used to go into halftime with the players, and I would just start going off on them on all the things that they were doing wrong. And then I caught myself, 26-year-old Ted Knightsky, because I realized I needed a process. So in my clipboard, I put a series of questions to check over before I walked over to make sure I was in the right state of mind to support my players, because it was incredibly helpful for me as a coach to remind myself of the position the players were in. Did I want to rip them apart for a gajillion little failures and point out all their flaws? Yeah, because that was my instinct as a player. But what good is it in a world where we need to move forward? Well, it's not good. Think about this as a teacher, parent, leader, etc. When you are tone deaf, what's happening is you're busy. You fail to reflect. You're stressed. And that's why a check process is a great and quick reminder as you are about to launch into your leadership or environment. Mindset matters. Use a tool. The second tool for tone deaf people is an old standby, the plus delta tool. What is going well? And what would you change or challenge? And then you ask people, because truth be told, this will only work if you have a demonstrated history of adjusting your practices in order to meet the needs of the people in front of you. But it is incredibly useful if you employ it and are seeking understanding for how you may accidentally be hurting those that you serve. I mean, you give people around you the opportunity to tell you what you're doing well and what you can improve. And if you are constantly talking about how important you are, somebody's eventually going to point it out. Now, the last one is self-advocacy. I've worked with, led, and been around a lot of tone-deaf people. Sometimes it's me. People who are shameless self-promoters, who have to lead everything with some odd justification statement about how they've done this before, worked in a place that was worse, or I've read all the research on this and I have a degree, I've faced things like this before, blah, 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 blah. If we truly care about our mission, each other, or the outcomes, we have to be willing to stand up and step into uncomfortable situations. Think about that nurse. The nurse who told all those surgeons and doctors that nobody thinks they cared. Imagine then being one of those surgeons who enters into a highly stressful environment, artfully and skillfully slices open another human being in order to repair or save that human being, and have some nurse tell you that the patient doesn't think you care about them or their skills? Well, The response I saw in the room that day was not one of people who defended themselves. Instead, like great leaders and practitioners, they immediately became reflective, looked for solutions, and had a desire to employ strategies to improve. They wanted to get better. Ultimately, this is what we want to do every single day, improve. But in order to do so, we have to be reflective. We have to be willing to work on ourselves, and we have to have the courage to stand in and up for others. So what do you do when you hit that piece where you need to confront other people? Well, you share with them what works for you. Hey, I just wanted you to check out this little punch list I use as I enter every room. Hey, have we used a plus delta form? A gentle suggestion. It makes people reflective because when people have done it to me or you, what happens is you get in the car or you go to your office and you're like, why did they ask me to do that? And then later on when I've got some process time, it comes back into my mind and I start thinking about it. I find that people who are tone deaf fall into a couple of categories. And the first is a judge good one. They really don't know they're doing it. They are hyper-focused and outcome-driven and just need a reminder or permission to be human. The second category is a little less optimistic. But there are those who are arrogant, ignorant, and immodest, at least in our eyes. But the truth is, they're actually insecure and have learned to project a tone-deaf confidence that is off-putting, and no one in their lives has had the courage to just tell them, knock it off! Your lack of humility is creating a problem. We each carry a narrative in our head. Most of us believe our voices sound the same as the artists we are singing along with in the car. Few of us recognize our accidental behaviors, and others of us need reminders to make certain that we are moving forward in a manner that benefits those around us. Being tone deaf is curable. You have to be open-minded, and you have to have a mindset that is looking to improve upon who you are. If you're closed-minded, none of this matters. But if you are open to improving, willing to reflect, and able to accept that, no, you do not sound like Jon Bon Jovi when you're singing Living on a Prayer in a car by yourself, well, then you're going to be fine. If you need the courage to confront others in an effort to help them, seek strength by leaning into your networks. Or how about this? Send them this podcast, ask them to listen, and then process the discussion together. Use this episode as a coaching tool. And finally, if you think you're tone deaf, use the tools discussed to grow and be stronger. Leaders lead through empathy and reflection, and the single greatest thing you can do to improve is to just be aware every day of the simple fact that everything you do influences others, and that the most important thing you can do is focus on the needs of those around you. The last self-check is this. If you think about yourself and all the things happening to you every day and worry solely about the big Y-O-U, you're tone deaf. If you go through your days experiencing what is happening for you and focusing on others, well, you have a place in the Buffalo Tabernacle Choir. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you observe tone deafness in our world. The strategies you can employ to support those that are tone deaf. And describe what you can do different in order to avoid being tone deaf and not even knowing it. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please make sure to rate and share this episode. Also, please go on to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever your social media platform is, and look for CISA 6. Go down and pull up a post from this past Thursday or any Thursday, because each Thursday we are publishing TH3, which is Theodore's 3 on Thursdays. Everybody loves alliteration. And what you can now find in that tool is the tools that we discuss on the podcast. At the bottom of the page is a link that brings you to a page that you can pull off all of the different tools that we are discussing, as well as books you should be reading, songs you should be listening to, and videos to watch. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for giving me permission to use their great music, and look for their upcoming album in the next couple weeks. Finally, this episode was sparked by a bunch of phone calls I've had in the last few weeks as I have listened to parents and teachers and friends and business people and leaders complain about all the different situations they are facing as they try to navigate the sixth and seventh month of a pandemic. Too many people operating in a tone-deaf manner and saying things like, well, you think you have it bad. You have no idea what I'm facing. I truly believe that leaders have an obligation to focus on those they serve, to fight for people so that they have what they need in order to be their best, and to drop everything in order to support the mission of those they love. As leaders, this is not always easy. We have bad moments. Some of us have bad days. We want people to feel for us. We want to get taken care of. But that only occurs if we are always doing it first for others. Being tone deaf is not intentional. I think it's not intentional. But once you're made aware of it, you have to move forward, or we risk the overall health of those that we serve. Our primary job every day is to serve others to our greatest capacity. And to do that, we need to always put others first. It's a very simple idea, people. If we put everyone first that's in our lives, then guess what? They will be challenged to do the same. And if everyone around you puts everyone first, that means that you are first to everyone else. Then we're in harmony, a synchronicity that allows us to challenge every storm, singing as a herd.
Everybody and you, alone on the other side of the room. But you seem like the only one there, just watching the world unaware. And I hope you notice me. Just waiting for someone to care, and I hope you notice me.